All right, I have a prayer for you. Pray that it will break, and then we can figure out what's broken and fix it. I worry some people with epilepsy seeing flashing lights. I understand that's not good for you. Happy birthday, church. You realize this is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is that day that we celebrate as the birthday of the church. You're supposed to all be wearing red. I forgot until Melissa reminded me this morning. So I sent out an email much too late this morning trying to remind everybody, but I fear that it was my error that led us to failing to all wear red. If you're wearing red underwear, don't share. But it is the birthday of the church. The birthday of the church, and what an interesting time. Are we in the midst of birth pains? Is that what's going on with all this struggle around pandemic? Are you struggling with the whole thing as much as I am? I don't wear the mask, and then I wear the mask, and I forget and take it off in the car, and then I walk into a store, and they're glaring at me, and I stop, and I go back and get my mask, and it isn't that I'm being anti-mask, it's that I'm being anti-brainful. So, and what do we do? Should we wear our masks to keep everyone safe? That would be the best solution as far as health goes. We were commenting today, even when the pandemic ends, maybe some of us are going to be wearing masks. I don't want to get the flu again. I don't like colds. I think masks may become a more a part of my daily life. On the other hand, the pandemic, this closing down and these masks has drastically impacted our economy. And I was talking with some parents. They said their children have lost a full year, not just educationally, but socialization. How has it affected colleges? I don't know. How has it affected all of the different ways? And everybody's been impacted by this, and ending it seems to be important. So what should we do? We don't know. Like a childbirth, it's painful. I cannot speak to childbirth. As a male, that just is out of my wheelhouse. So I will depend on those who will share with that, but is that what it feels like? I don't know. I will tell you, as your pastor, that I can say pretty definitively, Jesus never said anything about pandemics and what to do about them. It's a shame because we'd like to ask him, Jesus, what should we do? If only he was here, wouldn't that be great that we could always just had a hotline and say, Jesus, which way should we go on this? And he always has the answer. He always had the answer. You know, they pulled trick questions on him trying to trip him up. My favorite is one that it occurs in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts. It is an account that they came to test him. They said a woman is married and her husband dies. And in the custom of the time was if that happens, the brother should marry the wife. So the brother marries her and then he dies. And so the next brother marries her. So seven brothers she's married. Finally, she dies and goes to heaven. In heaven, who's her husband? That's the question they asked Jesus. Isn't that fun? How in the world are you going to deal with that sort of question? And he is just awesome. He says, in the afterlife, they neither marry nor are given into marriage. The way we view things and the way we things here is not the way things are there. We cannot but understand, but Jesus will understand. And he shut them all up. What a brilliant answer. If only he was here so that he could answer our questions about other things. But he's not. Or is he? Here's the question. Here's what he says to them. He's telling them about this Pentecost thing, this advocate. You heard Nalu read it this morning, this helper, this spirit of truth. If you go back to the original texts, it's all the same word. It's called paraclete or parakletos. Paracletos. They didn't know for sure what that meant when he first used it. What did he just say? Paraclete. It's like the parakeet that you used to have when you were kids, but not quite the same. Paracletos. And it gets translated to all those different terms. I'm going to read to you what Jesus tells them. He tells them he's going to have to leave. That he's going to leave them and depart. Sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be guided in all truth. Jesus with us. And that's what happened on that Pentecost day. They were all together in the room, and tongues as of fire descended upon each one of them and gave them utterance. Now, if this was still the lockdown, I'd have a whole series of slides because there's been so many depictions of that event that it's just fascinating. My favorite is it's a teepee. Native Americans are in this teepee, and there's a fire there in the center, and the smoke is curling up from the fire and curling around in the teepee and reaching everyone in the teepee. And they're all doing their own things. They're all scattered around. And those tongues of smoke of spirit have descended on every one of them and have descended upon every one of us. We don't really think about that very much, that the Holy Spirit is within us, is with us. And I think one of the problems is we don't have a good mental image. This is a visual time. Humanity is very visual. You want to ask a question, people will dig out their phone and check the picture. Check the body cam. Check whatever's been captured. And proof is in the pictures, except now we're getting those deep fakes. That's another sermon for another day. So most of us, when we think about the holiness of life and whatever, most of us have a mental image of Jesus. Pause for a moment. How do you picture Jesus? I picture him walking, staff, robe, sandals. I don't know if beard or not. I haven't kind of have a varying image. Sometimes carrying the lamb, the good shepherd. But that image of Jesus is concrete enough for me to reflect and have a way of grasping Jesus as real, the real person that he was. Now, what about God? Now, that's a whole different one. What came to mind real quickly? Charlton Heston? I know that was, I thought that was Noah. You know, I vacillate. How many of you are familiar with Monty Python? He always had cartoons about God, and sometimes that image of God comes into my mind unbidden. But a cloud during the daytime, a column of fire at night for the Hebrews, that's not very warm and cuddly. How do we envision God? Morgan Freeman, how about that? He did a pretty good God. But no image in my mind for the Holy Spirit. I don't even have a concept of how I can imagine that up here. And so how can we help ourselves and build our awareness around the fact that the Holy Spirit is eminently with us? A piece of me goes back to those cartoons when there was the little good angel on one side and the bad demon on the other side telling people what to do. And that's terrible because that showed them as relative equals. And there's no way that evil is as strong as good. Good is overwhelming, never defeated by evil and darkness. And that little angel sometimes didn't stand strong enough. So how do we envision that? I've seen classical paintings of the angel Gabriel. And the first time I saw one particular painting, and I couldn't find it. I can't show it to you anyway, but the angel is there, and I thought, who is she? And that's the angel Gabriel, and I thought, oh. But an angel depiction was almost as if it was male, female, neither both. And that might be important to remember. When I was little, my dad was the best one to help me if I was working on a project or something mechanical. But when I was sick, I wanted my mom. Male and female are parts of humanity, but God is all. And so God, male, female, both, neither, however you want to depict that. So how do we envision the Holy Spirit with us? Cloud of smoke? That doesn't seem very cuddly. But how are we to be about that? Jesus' description, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So envision for a moment that paraclete. Imagine a brilliant lawyer standing at your side, a helper, a bodyguard, keeping you safe, a wise best friend giving you the best advice, someone that you can trust in and who fills your heart when you see them. Perhaps the figure of your mother and father who let you know that you were unconditionally loved and always would be. Perhaps that angel with the blindfold holding the scales, that angel of justice. Is that not the Holy Spirit as well? Justice. Because that's what we're called to be about. Or maybe that angel Gabriel. Grand, immense, and yet close enough to touch. And regardless of whatever image you can gather, try and focus one and realize that that Spirit is with us now, always giving us utterance. That Spirit is with us now and always giving us divine guidance. You know, there's lots of ways to do things, and we can look at ethics and morality. I took a course in ethics in seminary. I thought, oh, this would be good to learn some ethics. And the teacher said, we're going to study Christian ethics. And I had to stop a minute. I thought, well, I thought ethics was ethics. There's a difference between business ethics and Christian ethics. There are differences between all of those categories, and sometimes we need to back up and realize whose ethics we're about. An ethic of prosperity may not be a Christian ethic, and yet it may be the Holy Spirit guiding us to know how to pray. Did you hear that in the Scripture? Sometimes we sigh with sighs so deep that we don't know how to pray, and yet the Spirit is there and knows what we need and how to give it to us. The love of God shown in Jesus Christ, Christ giving to us first and giving us even if it wasn't deserved by us. And that Spirit that is the will of God. We were singing about God in three persons, Holy Trinity, this morning. That God of all creation, that Trinitarian, that complete Godhead, and how that speaks to us. It speaks through the Holy Spirit. So we come back to that question that began in this pandemic time. Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? Do we open up? Do we not open up? How do we deal with all of these things going on and these questions? Jesus, wish you were here to answer those questions. We can pause and reflect back, and the Holy Spirit directs us, and we know and we can follow where we are directed. So happy birthday, church. Happy birthday. Not only has it been a birthday and we get to celebrate the birth of the church, but we celebrate the Spirit within each and every one of us, giving us tongues to speak in the languages of all of those we will meet. You need to give that some thought sometimes. A lot of people want to push that right literally and say, well, I'm never going to learn Tongan. Pai has been trying to teach me how to say good morning for several years now. Don't have it yet. So that kind of language change is not perhaps what the Spirit is talking about. But that Spirit of utterance means that I can smile and connect with people even though I don't know their language. And I can offer them hospitality and care and celebration without words. That gift of utterance is given to all of us. What else? What else is the Spirit speaking to you today on this happy birthday of the church? Amen.